Lafondra looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Welcome to another episode of the Elm Park Royal Preview Podcast in association with the Reading Chronicle. As always, I'm here with Matt Joy. How are you doing this week, Matt?
It's got a strange feeling ahead of this game, but I'm on a personal level, yes, I'm all good, thank you, mate.
Yeah, I mean, the season ended last weekend, really. But before we get to that, obviously, there is something to address, and that's this weekend's coming boycott. Elm Park Royals will be taking part in that, so there won't be as much social media content on our platforms as normal. Well, there won't be any. The club and the wider football world are also taking part. What do you think of it, Matt? Is it going to make a difference? What are you thinking?
Sadly, I don't think it would make a difference. And that's only because tech companies are putting profits above anything, and they're not taking the steps that they need to ensure that anonymity is not as easy as to achieve. The disgusting messages that players have received on a weekly basis. It's just baffling in this day and age that anyone would think of that, let alone think to message someone of that. And yeah, it's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting what the players are receiving. And I think, you know, first and foremost, these players are people, and they are normal people who are very talented at kicking a football. But first and foremost, they are people. I completely agree with the club's stances, and they are taking that stand to try and ramp up the pressure on the social media companies. I'll also be joining in with the boycott. But unfortunately, it's a case of hopefully this may make the social media companies stand up and take note. But I fear that the thing is, they could have taken the step so much sooner. And for it to come to this point in the first place is just a really sad situation and a sad indictment of the toxic and harmful nature that social media brings out in the worst dregs of the society.
Yeah, I mean, we could get into a big discussion around this, but I think everyone involved with this podcast abhors the kind of racism that has been directed at Liam Moore, directed at various football players, and directed at, you know, anyone, as you say, any person in this world should not experience racism or discrimination of any form. So, we stand in solidarity with anyone who experiences it, and hopefully this will make some kind of impact.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, I'm in a privileged position where I have never been subjected to such abuse, to such dehumanising abuse, and I'm, you know, that's such as how I was born. But so I'll never be able to understand it, and be able to understand truly that how it would make you feel as a human being. But ultimately, you know, everyone is the same as one another, no matter colour, creed, sex, religion, orientation, anything. We're all human beings, and it would just be nice to see a bit more kindness. So yeah, hopefully the players will feel, if nothing else, the players will feel supported by the wider football community. I think that might end up being the best thing that comes out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. So going into the football from this weekend, obviously there wasn't much joy there. The season is effectively over now. Mathematically, playoffs are not possible. Velko was pretty dejected after that match, wasn't he?
Yeah, and there's been a sort of tangible change in his mood in the press conferences that we've done, probably since maybe the Barnsley game, the pre-match at Barnsley. He was very optimistic, upbeat, confident. Since then, it's been a sort of downward slide, not only in, you know, form, but in how he has come across to me personally. And that's just how I'm, you know, obviously taking things in on a human level. But yeah, he was very dejected, and understandably so, because, you know, as I put out, Reading had a real opportunity to create a memorable historic season, and all the foundations were there from the incredible start. Whether that came too soon, we could argue till the cows come home about that one. But yeah, I think there was there's going to be a period of, I think, self-reflection from him and some of the players as well, because there are plenty of things to be able to build on it. And it is important to remember, you know, where we were this time last year. Well, not this time because of obviously the pandemic and what have you, but at this point in the season last year. And, you know, progress has been made, and it's progress has been few and far between in recent seasons with Reading. So it is important to remember that. But ultimately, I think if you'd offered, as I said, if you'd offered any Reading fans seventh spot at the start of the season, they would have taken it. If you'd offered the seventh spot after the start that Reading made, there would be a real sense of disappointment. So it's kind of depends at what your outlook on life is, whether you're, you know, glass half full or half empty. But I think that was certainly the sense that I got from Pavlovich, was he was reflective and dejected.
Yeah, I mean, there are definitely some that are angry that we didn't make the playoffs after the start. I'm in the camp kind of like, okay, we didn't make it, but it is an improvement. Obviously, I think everyone is gutted that we didn't make the playoffs and not happy about the fact that we kind of, for want of a better word, bottled it. But you wrote an article this week looking at the kind of reasons behind why we didn't quite make that next step. What did you come up with?
Well, I think there's a lot of points, and I would say that I don't think any supporters are wrong to be disappointed and even angry that Reading didn't make, you know, didn't keep the form going until the end of the year. Obviously, it wasn't going to be as scintillating as at the start, but to be able to maintain that top six spot. I think you've got to think that, you know, Pavlovich is, first and foremost, his hands were tied in the transfer market. He couldn't make those... he can make, you know, invest in the squad and get a bit more depth. And that was at a time when there was obviously lots of injuries. There was moments in the season where you looked at the bench and you thought, with all due respect to the players on the bench, there were a lot stronger benches across the league. So there's that aspect. There was probably an over-reliance on certain players. I picked out Lucas Zhao for that, because at the start of the season, you know, when he was in scintillating form, it was, you know, everything was rosy, and perhaps some players hadn't stepped up in his, you know, in his space when he went through the trough as opposed to the peak. I think, as I said, you know, I said the injuries, especially to players like John Swift, Reading don't have another John Swift in their ranks. If he was there for 2/3 of the season and out injured for 1/3 of it, I suspect that Reading would still be in the hunt, whether they be in the top six. I think that the season wouldn't be over. But there was also, Pavlovich did make some errors, and it's important to remember, you know, it's his first season in this league, in this country, and he has done a really good job. He's exceeded expectations if you take the season as a whole, but some of the tactical choices, the substitutions, I think there's been a lack of urgency at times. There's been a lack of a plan B in the more gritty games. I think he's not been helped by certain players not rising to the occasion in such games and not going that extra. As I said, I don't want to make it an oversimplification, but sometimes you need to be willing to come off the pitch with a graze or two on your legs. You do need to be, you know, willing to go that extra 10% to secure a point and or 3 points. That's not necessarily been there in abundance. I think the hype at the start of the season may have got to a few players. They might have started thinking, right, well, this is the, you know, this is where it starts, and who knows where this, just off the back of this, you know, season, where my future may lie, and there may be a bit of a distraction there. And again, players like Omar Richards, you know, going to Bayern Munich, he's going to be distracted. Who wouldn't be? That's completely understandable, but I don't think Pavlovich has been helped by that. I think there's a lot of, you can't look at it as just a, you know, everything went wrong at the wrong time. I think there's a lot of reasons why things just fizzled out, fatigue. Yeah, I could go on for a long time, as I did in the article, if anyone's read it. But yeah, there's been a culmination of issues. But any suggestions on my that I've seen that Pavlovich isn't the man to lead Reading forward is ludicrous. He's got the squad together. The harmony in the squad is there. He knows what the club means to the supporters, and I genuinely believe that. People accuse him of just giving sound bites. I don't believe that at all. I think that he is passionate about the project. I think he can, if he has every available, you know, weapon at his disposal, he can, you know, get Reading playing in a mouth-watering fashion. So I think there needs to be you can be frustrated, but any suggestion that a seventh place finish is a poor season. It's a frustrating end to the season, but overall, it's not a poor season.
Yeah, I completely agree. When you look at where we were when Paunovic took over to now, he has earned the next season. Yes, there are some question marks about stuff like substitutions. And to be fair, those have plagued him since Chicago Fire. I remember that a lot of their fans said the exact same thing. So maybe that's not a new thing. He has been talking about building for next year. It will be interesting to see how much he's allowed to do of that given Reading's financial situation.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a busy summer in one way or another. I think that obviously a lot of the players will have attracted potential suitors. I wouldn't go as far as to say there's going to be a complete upheaval and, you know, Reading are going to be stripped of every single one of their assets. But whether Reading are in the strongest negotiating standpoints when it comes to maybe rejecting lucrative bids, I would be hesitant to say that. I'd be positive that Reading could bat away decent money if it came in. So it could be an interesting season. It could be an interesting postseason. It could be a case of, you know, we might be looking at a different squad. But then again, you know, we've seen that even if the money isn't available, I would say you look back over the last couple of seasons, for me, the two best signings, Michael Morrison and Josh Laurent, and they were hardly cost a fortune, let's say. So I think if Reading are smart, if Reading scout wisely, there's still reason for optimism. And I think that, you know, players like signings like Josh Laurent, signings that can solidify the squad, would probably be more likely to be the ones that come in as opposed to the big bucks, shall we say.
Yeah, I guess the positive is that the foundations do seem to be there. Obviously, we might lose a couple of players, but in the grand scheme of things, we're looking in a better position this season than we were at the end of last season. Turning our attention to the match at Norwich, they could be crowned champions this weekend, I think, if they win or Watford fail to. What are we expecting Paunovic to set up like? Is he going to have that in mind and kind of just try and frustrate the Canaries?
I think I would be disappointed personally if I saw that. It wouldn't surprise me if I saw that, but I think that, you know, Reading have got nothing to lose now. They've got absolutely nothing to lose. They should go there and just try and express themselves. They should try and get back to the, maybe not the, you know, the level of performance that we saw at the start of the season, because that's going to take some real doing. But I don't think setting up for a draw would be, I mean, to put it simply, what would be the point? You know, and Paunovic has said that he wants to finish the season strongly. He wants to respect the competition, respect the fans. So I don't think there's going to be a case of, you know, Reading going there with, there will obviously be a lower amount of motivation. That's, you know, I think we saw that at the end of last season when, you know, Reading were mathematically safe and it got to games. I remember, I think it was Swansea City on the final day, and a lot of people were saying, you know, Swansea just wanted it so much more than Reading. And I did sit there, and as much as I agreed with it, I thought, well, yes, obviously they have something to play for. That's just basic human psychology. So as long as Reading, I think, for me, go out and don't roll over, they show signs of what we're all going to want to see when all of a sudden the games are meaningful again come the start of next season. If we see that, I'm not expecting a win. If Reading played well and came out with a 2-3-0 defeat, to be honest, it doesn't matter. You know, put simply, it's all about the performance, and it's all about the players showing to the manager that, you know, now the pressure's off, they believe in him, they believe in, you know, what he's trying to do. And if we see that, I think that there'll be a lot of positives to take from it, no matter the result.
Yeah, one final question before the score prediction. I know, obviously, Velko said that he wants to take the league still seriously, but do we think that there will be more opportunities for youngsters? And I'm specifically thinking of Dejan Tetek here, who seems to be the closest one to breaking through.
Yeah, well, I asked Paunovic that post-match, again, after the Swansea game, and he said, you know, any players that are in my squad are players that have earned their chance. We don't give, you know, chances up to players who don't deserve it, haven't shown me enough. That being said, players like Tetek have been on the bench, so he clearly, you know, he clearly trusts players like Tetek and a few others. So I would hope so. I think that it would show. Again, it could give cause for optimism if Tetek, you know, comes in from the start and puts in a spectacular performance. All of a sudden, that'll, you know, get a feeling of, you know, optimism going across the supporters. And yeah, so I think I wouldn't imagine the lineup's going to be akin to what we saw against Luton. I think it was in the FA Cup when it was, you know, I think I was on the verge of getting a call up onto the subs bench on that day. But I don't think it'll be unchanged.
Yeah, sure. So, as I say, final question, score prediction.
Matt, I'll be honest with you, I've got absolutely no idea. I think Norwich will win. That they've got, yeah, quality throughout their squad and quality that on their day, even if Reading, you know, put in a performance, you would expect them to get the win. I don't think it's going to be a rout. I don't think it's going to be going back. I can't remember how many years ago it was now when it was a 7-1. Hope not, at least, because otherwise that's going to be a long old drive home. But I think Norwich by either 2-0 or 3-1.
That is basically exactly what I was going to say. I was actually going to say 2 or 3-0. So the one would be welcome. I think as long as we score, that'd be nice. Well, that's it for another week. Obviously, only one game after this one, so the pain is almost over. thank you very much for joining us again, Matt. Paul is actually taking over the second half of the podcast today, and he's talking to Chris Reeve from Talk.
And now with Chris, and we are with Chris Reeve from Talk Norwich City. And I have to admit, I have been to the pub, so maybe this will be a slightly bit drunken, as that showed there. But Chris, first of all, I have to start with the amazing fundraising that you've done through Talk Norwich City at the weekend. Absolutely incredible effort there. Is that over 23,000 you've now raised there for the council charity?
Yeah, 23K. It's look, it's what football should all be about, right? And thanks to you for donating. It really means a lot. You know, I think from an opposition fan, that speaks a lot about the Elm Park Royals, and I think that's, as I say, it's what football's about. We're really proud of what we've achieved. It's been a pretty dark time for football fans, and so our primary focus this season has been on keeping fans company, which we were doing through our TNC watch alongs, and secondly, raising money for our official charity partner, Big C, who help people and families affected by cancer in Norfolk. So it's a tremendous honour, and thank you for that. I really appreciate it.
No problem at all, Chris. Anyone listening to my podcast will know that my dad's going through cancer at the moment, and it's obviously a horrible situation to be in. But let's get back to the football then. Norwich are top of the league, champions elect. Absolutely no doubt in my mind that they are going to win the league, Chris. Why do you think that they've managed to create this squad and this mentality from, I don't know, such a horrible ending to the Premier League last season, but they've moved on from it very quickly?
I must say it has surprised me a little bit. I didn't expect this team to be this dominant in this league. I was a little bit worried, and I'll hold my hands up and be honest. You know, we waved the white flag in the Premier League. You know, our, you know, Project Restart came along, and we did really sink. We didn't really put, it didn't seem as a fan like we put up a fight. Yet this season in the Championship, how Daniel Farker has rallied his yellow and green army has been nothing short of phenomenal, and absolutely deserves the keys to the city, 100%. I am so proud to be a Norwich fan. It's the best football we've ever seen, in my opinion. And I've seen, obviously, you know, well, excluding League One, I've seen us go into the Premier League three times now. So, yeah, that speaks volumes. It's full of talent. It's full of grit. It's full of determination. The defence is shored up. We're playing with flair, with prowess. And in many cases this season, we really have looked like a Premier League team. So, yeah, in all honesty, I would hold my hands up and say it has been somewhat of a little bit of a surprise. I knew we'd be in and around the playoffs. But I didn't think we would just be that consistent, and we just kept getting wins and wins and wins. And although I would say the quality in the championship this season has been slightly below where it has been in previous seasons, I wouldn't take that away from what we've achieved this season. I think it's been nothing short of phenomenal, because a lot of people that don't really understand the facets of Norwich won't understand that we're a family-run, community, self-sustaining football club. We haven't got a billionaire owner. We've got a chef that absolutely loves the football club and has spent all of, like, literally she's down to her last peanuts now, bless her heart, Dealer and Michael Wynne Jones. So, you know, and a lot of people will now be listening to this going, well, what about those parachute payments? You know, we've honestly only just started spending them. We've spent we haven't even really spent that yet, because we'll be spending it in the Premier League. We bought in Ben Gibson in January, Dimitri Giannoulis in January as well, to bolster the squad for the Premier League. But in terms of the Championship, really, we've got Ollie Skip on loan, which is a hell of a signing, but we've not spent really a hell of a lot of money. The key, I think, to going on to win the league this season for the Norwich boys has been keeping hold of Max Aarons, keeping hold of Timu Pukki, and keeping hold of Emi. How we kept hold of Emi Buendia, for me, is a joke. He's a Champions League quality player in yellow and green pyjamas. It's as simple as that.
I find it really strange to hear you say Max Aarons without saying Barcelona bound. anyone who's watched your watch longs, which are absolutely fantastic. I will say this right now. Talk Norwich is the best fan site I've seen. Oh. It's just an incredible site, and I've taken a lot from it. A really brilliant site. But Norwich, as a whole club, you look at Reading, and we're a mess financially. Absolutely. There's no point disguising it. I can't put anything about it. I mean, I wish I could influence it, but I can't. When we're spending over 200% of our wages, that's not sustainable, Chris, is it? But how is it that Norwich have become so successful, and the role that Stuart Webber has played is just immense, isn't it?
I think having, you know, supporting a sustainable football club is almost like the new sexy in football. It really is, because morally it feels right for a fan to support something that's self-funded, that's not got foreign ownership, just wanting to take the cream off the top. It's put back into the club, it's put back into the community. And yeah, you're very right to highlight Stuart Webber, our sporting director, has really massively changed the, and not just Stuart Webber, to be fair, you know, the whole of the Norwich City top brass have really changed the culture from within the club since they arrived, really. And it has been phenomenal. And, you know, it's not just you guys that are in a potentially financial mess. You know, look at a club like Bournemouth. If they don't get promoted, big, big trouble. And there's many other clubs on the brink. So, you know, I couldn't be prouder to support Norwich at the moment, particularly with the Greedy Six and the Super League and all of that utter nonsense. So, yeah, look, I can understand why Norwich are a club of envy to many opposition fans, and I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, why wouldn't you be? Totally. I mean,
come and support us if you want. Just come and support us if you want. You can give up on Reading.
on a Reading FC podcast, I'm not going to encourage that at all. Yeah, anyone who knows it will know I do have a little bit of a soft spot for Norwich. I'm not going to deny it at all. I love the place, Norfolk, Clyde, Sawhouse, Blakeney, all lovely places. but I would say, looking at Norwich, if there's one kind of like game that stands out for me, you're going to pick out the 7-1 probably when you beat us. And for me, as a Reading fan with a Norwich supporting girlfriend, oh, the journey back from when we beat you 2-0.
No.
2-0 and sent you down to League One, Chris.
That was already done and dusted by then anyway. I wouldn't worry about that. Norwich fans won't even remember that, because we had already kind of succumbed to League One by then. That 7-1, I remember it well. We'd already secured the playoffs, hadn't we? So for us, it was almost like a training game. And I mean that with all the love and respect in the world. And I think, doesn't that just show that when players are able to just have the freedom of the pitch and enjoy themselves, that is what happened. But, you know, we mustn't forget the calibre of players that Norwich had in that team. You know, we had Alex Pritchard, when he was actually really, really good, we had Wes was always in his prime, but Wesley Houlihan still in that Norwich City side. We had so many quality players then that were almost like they were playing for their futures as well. It was a very, very, very special side. So it was a great game. It was a crazy game, that one. I believe it was like, 6-1 at halftime or something like that. Sorry to mention it.
Oh, I was at a barbecue. I wasn't there at the game. Girlfriend was absolutely unbearable, Chris.
Good on her.
Looking at my phone. And I was thinking, no, that's not right. That'd be right.
I honestly, in the stands, I remember it very well. It was. You know, those days in football come around like barely ever, and it's one of those wins that I'll always remember. I remember the sun was beaming down on Carrow that day, and I remember having a picture with my feet up in the seats at half time. The sun was down, and we were 6-1 up at half time, and it was. But truth be told, I don't know what. I have no idea what happened that day to Reading, because they were an absolute shambles. But obviously, things have changed since then, and. You know, I'm sure we'll move on, you know, to this season. I've been very impressed with Reading and very surprised in a really non-patronising way as well, because you think about the calibre of teams and the amount of money invested in teams now. I've been impressed with Reading this season, and I must admit, if I was a Reading fan, I would be desperately disappointed that you've bottled the playoffs, because you absolutely had it in your hands.
Yes, I did notice how you said bottled it there, Chris. Yeah, basically. I know. We've picked up 9 points from the last 9 games. And it's a real... I don't understand how we've done this, because we have got the players. We've shown over the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, the form has just collapsed. And it's not just down to the fact that we've got a smaller squad than a lot of other teams in the Premier League that have come down, like yourself. You have the luxury of... the brilliant squad that you have in midfield in particular. But I don't know why it's happened so much. I think it's just a mentality situation with Reading, and I don't know if it's going to change. I hope so going forward. But if you could pick one player historically from Reading, Chris, who would you go for that you'd love to see in Norwich at some point now or in the future?
Well, there's two. I'm going to start with saying, did Shane Long once play for you?
Yeah, definitely.
I've always liked Shane Long. But the player that I would say, who of course is a Norwich City and Reading legend, is Jamie Cureton.
Oh, go, yeah.
I would have had Jamie back. Just give us Jamie back. I think you know, he was such a tidy player. You know, we had the privilege of interviewing Jamie Cureton on our Talk Norwich City podcast, and in terms of a goal scoring. Literally still playing now. Like, what an absolutely fantastic player. And I'm sure Reading fans that will be watching and listening to this now will agree that, you know, Jamie Cureton for you guys was absolutely brilliant. And Jamie Cureton for Norwich City was also absolutely brilliant. So, you know, I think we're very, very lucky that mutual connection through Jamie Cureton. I think we're very blessed to have had, you know, such a fantastic striker and also top man as well, play for both our football clubs.
Yeah, I spoke to Jamie Cureton. I asked him face to face, which club do you prefer, Jamie? Is it Reading or Norwich? And he went, I just can't say.
Yeah, but do you know what that means? That means Norwich.
Yeah, don't go there, Chris. No, I think it is Reading. Don't even go there. No. I mean, it's going to be a really tough one at the weekend at Carroll Road. Obviously, you can't get a points record total of 106, can you, Chris? I mean, I know that Jack was very keen on getting 100 points, but you can't do that anymore, can you?
We gave it large. Look, I must admit, you know, that of course, I'm not going to hide and say I'm disappointed. Like, I wanted to beat your record. You know, you know what I think of Reading. I'm a little bit frustrated that we didn't get that record. I'll happily hold my hands up and admit to that. But what I will say is, I thought if I was a Reading fan, I'd be really embarrassed at the club's Twitter account tweeting saying you'll never beat our record or something. Like that was really tin pot. Like that, come on, like be honest. That is the definition of tin pot, and I'm happy to get abused for that. But what I must say is, I totally respect and give full kudos to Reading for achieving that record. That is some record, and it's going to be incredibly tough to beat, and fair blooming play. I just felt that the tweet was a bit tin pot. It was tin pot.
I'm not going to say that. maybe you're right, Chris.
It's not a trophy, is it? Do you know what I mean?
No. But when you've never won any trophies of any significance, Chris, you hang on to them.
Well, you have. You've won the championship that season. But yeah. No, honestly, what I've realised through what we've achieved this season is I'm saying that Norwich have been so dominant this season. I'm saying that this is the best Norwich team we've ever seen this season. So, Reading fans, I totally get why that 106 is so impressive. That is an incredible achievement. And without sounding patronising and condescending, for a club like Reading or for a club like Norwich to achieve that sort of points total, that's a big achievement. So fair play for that record.
Yeah, it is really hard to keep that mentality going, isn't it? I think that's the big thing. Because as you've seen with Norwich, they've lost two games after they got promotion. I mean, they were against teams in very good form. It's not easy to do, is it, at all?
No, it's not.
Really difficult.
Yeah, no, you're very right. It's not. I think there is always an element of, like, when you get promoted early on, like Reading would have done. That's what I'm really impressed of, you know, with Reading. They would have obviously been promoted really pretty early on to do that. So, you know, maybe it's different than what it is these days. But yeah, because obviously time has gone on and the sport has progressed in terms of sports science and physical health and everything like that. But look, Norwich got promoted again and got on the beers big time, and deservedly so. Honestly, I want the players to get smashed when they get promoted to the Premier League, because they deserve to have a beer. They've worked so hard. So I'm not frustrated as a Norwich fan. Of course, I'm a bit tinged that we didn't get that Reading record, but we're promoted. And, you know, if you'd said to me at the start of the season, Chris, you know, you'll go up in second place, I would have accepted it. If you'd said to me, you'll go up through the playoffs, I would have accepted it. So to be in our position, you know, is absolutely phenomenal.
Yes, we'd swap places with you, Chris, right now. Really would. 100%. Get that automatic spot and get it sorted. I mean, the playoffs for Reading is absolutely brutal. It's not enjoyable at all. Watford are probably going to go up. I mean, this is not a little bit negative for an end of a Reading FC podcast, but I think realistically, I think most Reading fans would agree with me that Norwich are going to probably beat us on Saturday. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Norwich. What's your prediction, Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't often come on a look, and I know I'll get some stick for this, and this will get clipped up, and people will give me stick if it goes wrong. But you know what? I don't care. I'm at the point where I know just how good this team is, and you know the way we played against QPR, we are sharp. So for me, Norwich City 3, Reading 0, easy win.
Oh, you're just putting it out there, aren't you?
It's the truth. Look, if this gets clipped up, fair play. I'll be honest. Because what have Reading got to play for? Playoffs is gone.
No.
You know, I genuinely believe that Norwich want to wrap the league up on Saturday, and I think that we will.
Yep, and my girlfriend's going to be unbearable. So.
Enjoy.
So, cheers. Thanks a lot for joining us, Chris. I really enjoy that. If you haven't followed Talk Norwich City, you really should. Absolutely fantastic site. Cheers.
Cheers, guys.